Welcome to St. Paul's Sunday's Snippets. This is a time where we stop to reflect upon the writings appointed for this day. I pray that the Spirit would continue to work in your life and that God's word would come to you. As the prophet Isaiah says, God's word goes out and never returns void or empty. So I pray as you reflect upon these readings for today, that they would have meaning and help you in your daily walk with Christ. Now we begin in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord God, enliven and preserve your church with your perpetual mercy. Without your help, we mortals will fail. Remove far from us everything that is harmful, and lead us towards all that gives life and salvation through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Our gospel reading for this day is according to St. Matthew, the 18th chapter. Now Jesus said to his disciples, "If another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. If the member listens to you, you have regained that one. But if you are not listened to, take one or two others along with you, so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If the member refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if the offender refuses to listen even to the church, let such a one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly, I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly, I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them." The Gospel. When you think about this passage, it's a passage that gets mentioned a lot, but I often wonder if it gets misused some, that we miss the overall goal, the intentionality of what Jesus is striving for. Too often, I think, this passage, where it actually gets included in a lot of churches' constitutions about how you deal with difficult people. Sometimes I think we read it as, if somebody sins, you should go and point it out. But if you read carefully, what it says is, if a member of the church sins against you, go and point it out. Sometimes we've broadened it out that people are more inclined to use it for all kinds of things, to point out where people disagree. I think if you take this text and really go, okay, what is it that Jesus is attempting to get after? I think it comes to this. I think it's about community. And I'm standing here at the altar because in some sense, the altar for me represents a sense of unity, a sense of community. When we partake of the Lord's Supper, we gather together as the church. The altar becomes that focus where we understand the sacrifice of Jesus. And part of it is, it's not just an individual thing. Too often, I think, when we think about Christianity, we tend to think about it in individual terms. We think about it as me and my relationship with Jesus. Here's what I get out of this. It's very personal. And part of it is there's a dimension in which that's true. But there's a dimension in which Jesus comes for the sake of the world. He gives us his meal, that at this table we celebrate his body and his blood that's given and shed, and it's given and shed for you. But in some ways, I wonder if we need to understand that more in terms of a Southern thing, where you is plural, that it's really y'all. Because it's not just me, but it's everyone. And what Jesus is concerned about is the church being one, the church being unified, the church coming together as a whole. Because notice, the whole notion is if somebody sins against you, don't seek vengeance, but go to them. And why do you go to them? Not so that you can show your moral superiority. Not so that you can lord over them. You go to them to restore them. You go to them so that you can talk through those differences, so the relationship that's been torn apart can be made whole, can be reconciled. In some ways, that's what happens when we come to the table and we hear the body of Christ given for you, the blood of Christ shed for you. Part of it is God is in those elements, right? In, with, and under the bread and the wine to say, here, that relationship that has been broken because we sin against God is restored. And he says, receive this gift so that relationship can be restored. And we can be one with God and one with those who gather with us at the banquet table. Because if you've ever noticed Jesus' parables, as he talks about banquets and parties, right, the feast where people are gathered, it's a communal thing. He gathers people together for a feast together. And he wants people to be there with one another in community. And that's what he's saying here. When there is that friction, when there is that split, where there is that relationship that's been torn apart, what you do is you go to the person. And you seek to make amends. And if that doesn't work, we don't broadcast it on Facebook or post it on Instagram or whatever social media we want, make a TikTok video about it. No, we get a couple other people to go with us to seek, not again to assert our moral superiority, but to restore the relationship, to help bring reconciliation so that the church would be whole. And then it says, if that doesn't work, bring the whole church. Too often we take it as, here's the steps we got to take. I wonder if in some ways part of it is just like Jesus says, well, how many times do you forgive somebody? 7? No, 70 times 7. I don't know that Jesus is saying, here's a number we keep track of. But he's saying, you go back to him once, go back to him a second time, go back again and again and seek to restore the relationship. And even when it says, and if that doesn't, if they don't listen, treat them as a Gentile and a tax collector, it's, we may see them as outside the community, but it's people still with whom they're seeking to bring reconciliation, right? Because Jesus would go, and what did he do? He ate with the sinners and the tax collectors. You know, he ate with others so that they would experience God's grace, to see them as people who need to continually receive the grace of God. Part of it, as we think about this, I think we also have to remember and put ourselves on both sides. Sometimes it's easier to see ourselves as the one who I need to go and point out what somebody has done to offend me. But I also need to remember and think, because the reality is, just as somebody has offended me, more than likely, I have offended others. And part of this, that's the challenge here, I think, is that we see it not not so much as here's a strict way of church discipline, but it's about reconciliation. It's about seeking to put right those relationships that go astray. And think about what the church would look like if we could restore those relationships. Think about how the world would be different if we were really concerned about seeking to restore the relationships that have been broken, rather than demonize other people, rather than just write them off, rather than rant about them on social media. What if we took seriously and did the hard work of seeking to build those relationships back? I think that's the goal, the intent of this passage. The church is always a group. It's never a building. It's never an individual. It's the body of Christ. And how is it that we seek to be one with each other? How do we allow this table to become a center of that unity? How do we focus on realizing what Jesus has done for us? And how do we extend that to others? After all, almost every time we gather for worship, we pray the Lord's Prayer, right? Forgive us our trespasses, right? That part's the easy part, right? We pray that God would forgive us our trespasses. But you all know the prayer doesn't end there, right? As we forgive those who have trespassed against us. This passage calls us to take that second line of that petition seriously and say, how do we extend forgiveness? How do we reconcile those that have hurt us? And how do we humble ourselves to realize we may be ones who have hurt others and also seek to restore those relationships so that we may be one as Christ is one? And we gather around the table as the communion of saints together, acknowledging we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, as Paul says in Romans 3. But thanks be to God, where Jesus forgives us and loves us and reconciles us to himself. So now how do we go and love others and reconcile ourselves with those who have hurt us and with those whom we have hurt? Amen. Let us pray. Holy Trinity, you call your people to live together in communion with each other. But at times, we are disobedient and sin against others, causing hurt and pain. Send your Spirit upon us to strengthen us to be able to walk towards reconciliation with those that have hurt us and with those that we have hurt. Help restore these broken relationships in order that we might live together as a community of love, in a community that lives out forgiveness. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Now as you go on your way, may Christ go with you. May he go before you to show you the way. May he go behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over you, and within you to give you peace. Amen.